I'm from the University of South Carolina, representing the Black Celebration Project, and I'm also in Upper State this week assisting Dr. Magison of Drexel University in Pennsylvania in the Black Heritage Project in the Upper Piedmont, where we have documented Seneca, Calhoun, Central, and Pendleton basically between 1865 and 1920. I will be asking the history, the basic history of the families in this community, and will include family history, economics, the type of work that the families had, Black heritage, about religion, about education, and also about social interaction. That's the white-black interaction in the black and white communities in this area, and also some open questions where I'll ask about prized possessions and the kinds of people that have influenced your lives. The date is July the 8th on Sunday afternoon, and it is 4:25, and we're in the home. Would you please introduce yourself?
I'm Bethlehem Strickland.
Bethlehem Strickland. Okay, could you please tell me where you were born, where and when you were born?
I was born December 25th, 1927, in Wacoma County.
So you're a Christmas baby.
Yes.
I need to ask you right away, what special things did your family do for you? Do you know what special thing your mother did having a Christmas baby? Was that anything? Did she ever tell you what she had to have? I know in my family it was special when a child was born on Christmas. Did she ever tell you about your birth on Christmas?
No. Only thing she told me that I was born on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And I was probably back when it's coming up where there was time was, it's hard for them, mm-hmm. and she would always have someone to keep those while she worked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, could you tell me, who were your parents?
Bertha L. Strick and Jack L. Strick. Okay.
Who were your grandparents?
Donald Strick. Her mother was Carla, right now, Sadie Carla.
Mm-hmm. Where were they from?
Here in Oklahoma. But my grandmother, her mother, born in Pendleton, South Carolina.
Oh, South Carolina. Okay. Any of your family you know of were slaves?
I couldn't answer that.
Okay. Well, can you tell me what kind of work or what did your grandparents, did you remember your grandparents and know what they did for a living?
No, I was real small. I can just remember when they was around their home,
mm-hmm.
and we stayed around them. But the kind of job they was doing, I could tell. Well, I guess just a housewife, I would say.
Okay, so I take with this being a relatively urban area that your family never really lived in the rural area. And my assumption is that your family never really lived in the rural area. Did there some point in time when your family lived in a rural area?
Yes. I would say my grandfather on the Strickland side, but I'm too young to try to explain that mm-hmm. to him. But I never had any work on the farm or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very lucky.
Yeah, right. So what did your mother and what did your father do for a living?
He worked on a railroad.
On a railroad. Interesting. Could you tell me something about some of the things he did on that railroad?
Well, it was in North Carolina. So you know how that is. You never had too many questions.
Yeah, when you're
but he did work and was when they had to just put on frost ties. You know, they didn't have all these electric machinery like they have now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You see. Well, one thing I was wondering is, your father worked on the railroad, and could you tell me, give me this off the top of your head, just tell me what you remember about your father.
Well, my father didn't stay around too much. Mostly I can tell my mother that
He was in North Carolina.
Yeah, he worked, all. When mm-hmm. my mother worked for Miss Lonnie mm-hmm. right here.
Right.
So I can tell more about my mother mm-hmm. than I can.
Well, how often did your father come to see you?
Well, he would come probably on the weekends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what was basically your father's favorite thing to do, or did he have to, when he came, I know that railroad work must have been very difficult. Was there things that he did to help him to relax when he's home, or what?
Well, Just still around?
He's there. Did he ever talk about, you said, I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt. You said you stayed around and worked?
No, I said he stayed around. He worked in yards, you know, take care of people yard. Uh-huh. He never was around as much as my mother.
Okay. All right. Okay, so you said you remember your mother quite a bit. One last thing before I leave your father. Do you remember him singing railroad songs when he was home?
No.
You don't remember him singing railroad songs. Okay. Well, let me ask you about your mother. Tell me about your mother.
My mother worked for Mary's Lighting for 50 years and until she died back here in 1970. And so my mother passed in 71, so it must have been in 60. I just right now I won't be able to.
That's okay.
And we, as childhood, would work out to Miss Linus, and she would tell us to probably clean the yard, rake the yard or dust. Mm-hmm. As children would do, we would go in and play. Mm-hmm. As you can see, the big rooms in her house.
Mm-hmm. How many sisters and brothers did you have?
I have one. It's just two of them.
One sister? One brother?
No, just one brother.
One brother.
Just two of them.
Right.
It's so much that I could say. I guess I would have to have someone to ask me, of course, that, you know, because she, Miss Lonnie never had to go into the hospital. My mother taking care of her bed really for about 10 years.
Okay, so Miss Lonnie was sick at a period of time?
Oh, yes, 10 years.
10 years.
And my mother didn't live about 3 years. No, I would say 2 years after she passed.
Oh, okay. Well, tell me about how ill was she? What did Miss Lonnie have?
Miss Lonnie had a stroke.
Well, she had a stroke. Uh-huh. And so your mother had to be like a nurse?
Yeah, she'd take care of the house. She would take care of everything. No white around. She mm-hmm. was the only one that would, you know, take care of everything and see that everything carried out. And she would have a nurse to come in mm-hmm. to check on me. Mm-hmm. And then she had my mother going in the morning. And she would work till 4. Then another nurse would come in and work till about 7. Another one would come in at 7 and work until the next morning.
Mm, I see. And I understood that she had a child that died very young.
But I can't tell.
You can't tell.
I know. And all that happened.
Before you were born. Yeah. Well, I was wondering, okay, so did your mother have to entertain, you know, help to prepare? Did they have not big parties, but I know he was a doctor or then a druggist. Did they have big, formal parties that your mother had prepared for?
Yes. One was called the once-a-week club.
Once-a-week club.
And she would take whenever Miss Lonnie get ready to have it, she would prepare for it and clean. And she would entertain. Maybe sometime once a month or two or three times a year. I just remember now.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember once a week club. Well, she was shocked me.
What did they do in the once a week club? Do you ever notice what they were doing?
No. Because sometimes I wouldn't even be around after I helped clean and help them around there, I would be gone.
Well, did they have like night parties where, you know, they would have a lot of important people coming? Did they have those kind of like balls where they wear gowns?
Oh, no.
They didn't have
she wasn't that kind of person, mm-hmm. no.
So she had the once a week club. Did Miss Lonnie go out much? You know,
when she was younger, she would drive her car and she would take us to go, we would go to the cemetery with her. And she had her babe and husband there, and we had to go put flowers on the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Then she had a family in Westminster at a cemetery mm-hmm. where we would also go there. And it mostly would be on the weekend.
Okay, why would she go to the cemeteries? I mean, what would she be doing?
Oh, wanted to keep it. Now, she believed in keeping her graves and things clean.
Mm-hmm.
But they had someone to do that, but she wanted to see that flowers put on, and we would be the one to get the water, and she would put the flowers in, like, mm-hmm. and she would carry down another friend next door. His name was Robert Lyons, my mm-hmm. brother myself. Sometimes she would want me to go, and sometimes she wouldn't, mm-hmm. but she would carry the two bones. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't realize her husband died when she was so young. Did you not know the husband?
No, Dr. Lyons. No.
So he died before you were born?
Yeah, he must have been probably in 1929, somewhere along there. I was born.
Okay.
Well, I was born in 1927, so he could have been dead
by then.
Uh-huh. But mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you too much about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what type of life did she have? I mean, I know she had your mother as a companion, evidently. But, did she have other friends that would come over regularly, or what?
Oh, she had quite a few friends.
Uh-huh.
Miss Jim Lowry, Miss Elka Lowry, Miss Vernon. She was a wise.
Uh-huh.
And Miss Jody McCall, quite a few uh-huh. white friends. But after she couldn't hear too well,
mm-hmm.
so when she got where she couldn't drive, then she just stay home and read the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Someone would come and carry her.
Well, you said that she would take you to the cemetery and help to clean the grave. What relationship you had to your mother and what relationship you had to Miss Lana. I mean, could you tell me how? Kinds of things that happened, going to the grave, and was there like a family unit as far as the four of you? Basically, did you have meals together? Did you?
No, but back there, just like I live here,
mm-hmm.
and my mother work out there. Mm-hmm. Well, I would go to school, and then I would go out there to see how she doing. And probably something she would want us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted me to go to town or anything she would like me to go for her, I do. We would, but we were just like, well, that's mostly home for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we come home, my mother probably fixed some dinner for us mm-hmm. out there.
Mm-hmm.
We would go and get it and bring it back here.
Mm-hmm.
The same as my brother.
Mm-hmm.
But on the weekend, she would want us to help rake, leaves, help my mother with the household, cleaning house or washing dishes.
Mm-hmm.
But just, it wasn't integrated that time,
mm-hmm.
but we got along real well with the neighbors here.
That's the next thing I want to ask you. Well, when you ate your meals, where did you eat your meals? Since you had in the house?
Right in the kitchen.
In the kitchen.
2 hours long. As you can see, the it was a stew, and she was fixing. We would eat right there in the kitchen.
Uh-huh. So Miss Lonnie would eat by herself, Nancy?
Well, the little kitchen, what you see, the mm-hmm. little there was the fridge down a table, mm-hmm. and she would eat in there. But most of the time, when we would go out, she probably had lunch.
Mm-hmm.
We hardly would be around because I had a little job of my own.
Mm-hmm. What did you do as far as a job? What little job did you have?
I worked for the family of Mr. Mary Joe Bird
down
here on the corner.
Oh, so while your mother was working as long, yes. You worked down the street.
I started working for the Birds, around 5th or 6th grade, just mm-hmm. washing dishes.
Wow.
And then you didn't make much, but
that's why
four,
I say
$4 a week was a lot for me because I was trying to get me a little change, some money to maybe buy me a pair of stockings or a pair of socks at that time, whatever I was wearing.
Well, how old is your brother compared to you?
Oh, my brother's 59.
Okay, so how many years difference in?
And I'm 62.
Oh, so your brother was younger. Well, what did your brother work out too?
He would cut grass, cut hedges
mm-hmm.
for the Burtons. Either he would going to school every morning, he would go by a store and clean up
mm-hmm.
on his way to school.
Mm-hmm.
That was called the Merritt's Department Store at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was interested in knowing, How much did your mother get paid? Did she get paid a lot in caring for you? But was it hard times? I guess is what I'm saying during that time, as far as financially and taking care of you. You feel like you had a pretty decent life in living in this kind of community.
Well, yes, I would say she didn't. Well, I wouldn't say she was getting what she should have, but mm-hmm. at that time, what they was paying her, I guess, was the minimum wages. Mm-hmm. But she would get paid every week.
Well, how did you get your clothes in? I know how you ate a lot, but how did you get your clothes in?
Well, at that time, it'd be someone that have two or three daughters that have a lot of nice clothes and would hand them on mm-hmm. to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was home trying to get me.
Yeah.
I had to wear one pair of shoes maybe to school and then turn around and polish them on Saturday night and wear them to church that Sunday. Yeah. Probably I get a new pair at Easter time
uh-huh.
and a new dress.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't easy.
Yeah. Well, since you were living in a white community, how many black friends did you have? How did you... Did you relate to black children? I mean, did you have times when you could be with black children? I take that this was predominantly a white neighborhood.
Yes, but it was three more houses on the street at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But our family next door had a daughter, a grandson, and a daughter, and then the house, the third house down, their family was large, and they had. It was quite a few children.
So they're all black families?
Uh-huh. Okay. Black families.
So you have the big houses that the whites were in.
Yeah.
And then you have the other houses on the back yeah. street that the blacks were in.
Yeah.
And then all these families work for the bigger houses, the white families?
No, some would work maybe across town.
No.
Yes. But
that's interesting.
The houses that, the one above Miss Lonnie there,
mm-hmm.
Reverend Stokes and that's not the family was there at the time we was coming up. Mm-hmm. They had children. And then Miss Adams, the house in the back of me, and then one on the corner where I work. Mm-hmm. So the rest of them were just black.
So I'm trying to think of ratio. You had half and half whites in the community, half mm-hmm. blacks and half whites.
That's
in the community.
Right.
And then how much percentage you think of the blacks work for the whites in the community?
Well, most of them didn't work for any of them around here.
Oh.
It was all the way across town.
Well, that's
except, well, I would say the third house down, Mr. Wright would cook bread for Ms. Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And she had two children.
Mm-hmm.
And and the others, they were too small to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that what is surprising to me is that normally when I go across South Carolina, you have the black community and you have the white community mm-hmm. from the very beginning, but this is unusual that the white and black community is so closely together.
Yeah, that's what I always told them when they, when it was integrated, it was segregated, right?
Uh-huh,
when
right.
we was together,
right.
was integrated now.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't that be right?
Right, uh-huh.
Okay, so when we weren't integrated at the time, and that's why I tell my friends now, we get along better more. At the time we were segregated, mm-hmm. we did integrate, but mm-hmm. there's not any children around now, but we couldn't tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
When Miss Lonnie's nieces, our nephew would come to visit her on Sunday, she had some from Amsterdam. They never want to go and play with the girl next door. Mm-hmm. She always want to stay with me. And I always tell my brother, why don't she play with her own cup? But she enjoyed
being
with me.
Uh-huh. So where did you go to, I think that you went to segregated school.
Yeah, at that time.
All the children, the white and black children in the same neighborhood, that each of the children could walk to school? Or?
Yeah, we walked at that time.
Did y'all walk together to school?
No, we would always have to pass the white school before we got to our school
mm-hmm.
at the Carl O'Connor County Training School.
Mm-hmm.
We just finished our class reunion last week
mm-hmm.
at O'Connor County mm-hmm. Training School.
So go ahead, I'm sorry.
We would always have to pass. Sometimes they would get out there and they want us to pass.
They block us.
You try to block us, but you go through it and you keep it going.
Yeah, well, I had the same experience. I never forget, I went to Simon. When I was in Charleston, I went to Simon mm-hmm. Junior High. Mm-hmm. And we had to pass the white school to, you know, it was always a tug and pull, yes. You know. And don't ever be the minor of the group. Like, you know, you sometimes the blacks will block, uh-huh. and sometimes the whites will block. But if you end up being a single black coming out of the street, yes. you'll get they will mess with you if you're in that crowd. But if you got left from school, they will, you know, matter of fact, the white kids sometimes are a little afraid of mm-hmm. the black kids. And they won't mess with you, but if you get caught by yourself coming right. down that street, they'll get you for all the time.
Yeah. We had to go to school, and when that 15-minute bell will start ringing, mm-hmm. we had a big bell, and it'll start ringing. We know we had 15 minutes to get over that hill.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I wonder how I did make it for yeah. them years.
Yeah, so you had 15 minutes to get over the hill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's being between classes? Or?
No, that was given the what time we had 15 minutes to get there before time to take in.
Oh,
we had to walk from here to, we had quite a, 1, 2, 3, maybe about 6 or 7 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get down, we would always say the bottom of the hill
mm-hmm.
at that time. And when the bell rang at 15, we said, oh my goodness, it's 8, I think it was 8:15 when we would take in. We had 15 minutes to get there, probably be 8 o'clock mm-hmm. when that bell sounded.
Mm-hmm.
And, but we wouldn't make it. Sometimes it'd be so cold, I'm told.
So no one had school buses or anything?
No, we didn't have school buses at that time.
And the white didn't have school buses?
No.
Oh. Well, it seemed like, okay, there's a little more confronting when you go to school, but how about when you're in a neighborhood together? I mean, do you have that tension between the children and you're in a neighborhood? You know,
I'm only just trying to walk in the sidewalk. Sometimes they would try to put their hands out, keep them from passing. But we were devilish too. We just go right through.
Well, I had some experience. The other thing I was wondering, how about religion? What church did you go to?
I go to a St. James Methodist Church, which is St. James United Methodist, right across the street here from me now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going there from childhood day.
Yeah. So did you have whites and blacks going to that church?
At that time, no, but now we're integrated.
You know, we're integrated. Do you have a balcony in that church?
No.
You don't have a balcony. Because earlier on, Methodist Church had a balcony during sleep time the slaves were upstairs and the whites were downstairs.
Mm-hmm. This is not the church that I was brought up in.
Mm-hmm. What the church?
What I'm trying to say, this is the church, mm-hmm. but it's not the building. We had an older church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I always say it was much prettier than this.
Mm-hmm. Tell me.
And then they remodeled.
Tell me about, did the older church have a balcony?
No.
Much larger. Much larger. Mm. Well, what happened to the older church?
Well, it got where we had to take out in bed.
Well, does anyone have a history of the older church? You know, have y'all kept the history of the older church?
Yes, but I think the lady that did so, she's passed on now. Was talking about that the other day, that they need to find it and get it back into
the church. So how old is your church? What's the anniversary that y'all just maybe celebrate?
I believe it's 90-something years. Close to 100. It may be 100 now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where's the white church? Religion church?
Oh, it's about 2 or 3 blocks from here.
Mm-hmm.
You mean the other Methodist church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
White. Mm-hmm. But you know, now we have white black ministers in the white churches now, in the Methodist church, started this year.
I documented a Methodist church not too long ago, I think, about a year ago, and I was noticing that they had the Methodist priest was white mm-hmm. in Columbia.
Yeah.
And usually when I do churches, you don't see that.
That's right.
Except for Catholic churches.
Yes.
The other thing I would like to know, you said you've asked a lot of questions without me even asking it. Do you have any old photographs of your family? I noticed that you have a photograph of the Lonnies, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Did you have any photographs of your mother?
Yes. To tell the truth, the house is small, and I have quite a few things, Miss Lonnie and my mother, but it's, you know how you put them aside, put them away.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to find some a few minutes ago, and I couldn't remember where I put them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yes, I have quite a few.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have a photograph, family photograph album or anything like that?
No, just pictures, just all around. Mm-hmm. I have photograph pictures of different my friends and all my mother, and that some of them got old, so I had put them up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, if you find them, and you know, to go with this heritage project, you know, you could call this number in Pendleton, and they could come and take pictures, because they're trying to do a collection of black photographs mm-hmm. for the collection, and that's one thing I'm doing. I'm trying to locate the photograph, but like I said, I'm going back home hopefully tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a little tired, may stay tonight. But this is a number you can call if you find the photograph and you'd like them to be put into this history, this Black Heritage history. I think it'd be very important because they're trying to do about over 100 photographs of Black families and things of this nature. Let me see, one, and then I would be able to come and look at them and help with the project. I'm looking at the university. Something. Oh, yeah, do you have a family Bible? Did I ask you that with a phone?
Yeah, you asked me. We have one. My brother needed it for something, and he carried it back last week.
Oh.
And he'll be back next month, and he told me he would bring it back. I had it over there.
Did you have the birth dates and stuff and people born in your family?
Yeah, that's what he wanted it for.
Oh, okay.
To carry it back with him, and he just went back south.
Okay, all right. One thing I wondered, did you have any old, I noticed like in the house over there, there's a lot of older clothes and, you know, bonnets and wedding dresses. Do you have any, did you save any of that of your mother's?
No. No, I had a lot of aprons and caps and things that she could wear, and I cleaned them out last week, and this lady said she would like to have them. And I had just carried them to her, aprons of, they had a lot of straps on the back, and she used to wear a white cap on her head.
Mm-hmm. Is this person collecting? Like,
no, she needed some, and I thought they had dry rot, so they had.
Oh,
and I had just there.
No way you could get one.
No, she called. She said she cut
the straps.
And I thought about that after I had turned them in. I said I could have carried that there to the museum.
At least one. Just one. One set.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just basically a straw.
And it had the cap too.
You think she'll get back a cap?
I think I thought we don't even try. I didn't think about they would want it.
Oh no. If they didn't want it, I would have
sure
won.
Did.
Oh my
just
god.
The
other week or so. Well, how about did she save any baby clothes?
I didn't have any of the baby clothes.
So the your mother's apron and cap is the only thing that was saved?
Yes.
Any of her old dresses?
No, uniform. Someone got those when she paid.
Mm. Was she a Eastern Star or
no.
any? She wasn't. Was she with any other organizations?
That no, you know? No. You know, Mary McLeod.
Oh, she was.
She belonged to that.
Does she have? Do you have any papers from Mary McLeod?
No. You know how you. Some things, I guess, I would tell the truth. I probably would, but. I could have so many papers and different things and trying to make room.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say I would have. Mm-hmm. But right now, I just can't think where I put something.
Okay, well, like I said, if you know, in the next month or so, you
mm-hmm.
come across something, and I may call you back, at least take a photograph of the family Bible.
Okay.
See, with my exhibit, I'm only borrowing things. I'm not keeping.
Oh, yes.
But we're going to be traveling, and what it will show is the artifacts of the community,
mm-hmm.
and so we'll travel all over the country to show the history of Black South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and then after about 2 years of traveling, it's protected and insured and everything. Would not, I was telling the lady, the curator over here, that exhibit, particular exhibit, would not go to a museum like hers because it has to be under such security, but we will have a mini exhibit that will not have the artifacts in it that will come to museums like this so Black community could see
mm-hmm.
the history of South Carolina. So it's something that belonged to your mother, it would travel to the National Exhibit where it would be put under glass, cased under glass where no one could touch it, and it would be traveling and would be insured, like I said, and cased into a special carton, and no one would touch it except for the people who know how to handle delicate things like that. And so that's what I'm looking for, is something temporary loans to build this exhibit. And I don't know if I have it with me. I hope I do. Let's see, there's a book here somewhere. I just want to show you, give you an idea of what I'm doing, because a lot of people have not. See, this is a very unique exhibit. Now, this is one of the Field of Factor exhibits. Spencer Crew, who created this at the Smithsonian, he is one of my consultants. He's one of my major consultants. So basically, my exhibit is going to look just like this exhibit. And see how, you know, you have pictures of people and, you know, the different flyers and, you know, things that is related to the community. Now, his exhibit was from Field of Factor, which means migrating from the north to the from the south to the north. So that was what this exhibit was all about. I just want to show you one of them where it was okay. Like this one here was an exhibit. This was in a part of the exhibit where they actually recreated this this church. That was in. You could go ahead and answer your phone. Someone was answering your phone. I'm trying to show you one of them. This is actually was in the exhibit at the Smithsonian. See how they recreated the step of the north, and this little girl, they made a model of her. And like if somebody has a, you know, like that's like a wagon, it's in there. So this is how the exhibit that I'm working on is going to look. So we are trying to recreate the environment of the Black community, certain things like stripes and up north, and you know, kinds of jobs they had up north. And again, you know, these old photographs and, you know, worn ads for women to go up north. Mm-hmm. So this is what I'm trying to do. Like I said, once we've done this and created this, then this goes back. You know, the photographs and everything goes back. Well, as far as photographs, we make duplicates of photographs. We don't take the photograph. We could duplicate photographs. And